and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Tuesday, the 22nd of July, 2025, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. This morning, I'm going to have joining me in studio Paul Campbell Dean, Chair of Bahamas National Reparations Committee. Today, we are talking about Mr. Chavandes Smith, a.k.a. Michael the Archangel. There is a regional organization that is petitioning on the Archangel's behalf. And we're going to talk to Dr. Dean about this in a moment. I also have questions to ask, right? We're going to talk about national monuments, colonial monuments. Are there any monuments that you think need to be removed from the place that they're in right now, a place of prominence? Are there any monuments, colonial monuments, that you think should stay? Do you have any ideas of who we should replace? Who we should replace, or who should replace the existing monuments? Whose image should be placed instead? And what should happen to the remains of the statue of Christopher Columbus? The Caribbean Freedom Project is petitioning for a full pardon and expungement of the criminal record of Mr. Chavandes Smith. Do you agree with the organization's agenda? We're going to talk about that momentarily when the good doctor joins us in studio. Before we get there, we're going to touch on a bit of what's in the paper today. Things that were on the table yesterday. In today's Guardian, the article, New Bill Would Establish a National Junkanoo Authority. The Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture said yesterday that the National Junkanoo Authority of the Bahamas bill, which would create a permanent body to manage, promote, and develop junkanoo, is out for consultation. Today, the ministry said it is at the heart of a, quote, transformative effort to chart the future of junkanoo. We turn to page A5. The National, or quote, the National Junkanoo Authority of the Bahamas Bill 2025 creates a permanent body to manage, promote, and develop junkanoo, not just for two parades a year, but as a national institution that lives 365 days, close quotes. It said, quote, this initiative aligns with the government's blueprint for change, which prioritizes culture and heritage as a pillar of national development and reinforces our commitment to facilitate economic empowerment and advancement in the Bahamas, close quotes. The ministry said the draft legislation has been shared with the National Junkanoo Committee, the Junkanoo Corporation of New Providence, Grand Bahama Junkanoo Corporation, and all other family islands, junkanoo associations, and cultural organizations for review and feedback. Minister of Youth, Sports and Culture Mario Boleg said the bill acknowledges that junkanoo, quote, has advanced from a parade into an international cultural industry, close quotes. I just want to stick a pin there. That's a huge leap. That's a huge leap to say that junkanoo has advanced from a parade into an international cultural industry. That's a massive leap. And I'm afraid, Minister, you're going to have to show your work. It's because it's Miss Youth, Sports and Culture. You're familiar with that. You're going to have to show your work. Because HGTV hosting a wedding show that has junkanoo as a part of the wedding experience is not an international cultural industry. Quote, structure, strategic investment, and sustainable growth, close quotes. He said, quote, it's about building a stronger future for Bahamian culture where junkanooers and cultural practitioners could see junkanoo as a viable business venture with personal financial gain. Close quotes, huh? Getting there. He's showing a little bit of the work. He added, quote, this change taking shape isn't about taking away, it's about building something stronger together. What we are creating together as Bahamians is a platform that gives Junkanoo the structure, the funding, and the year-round support it has always deserved. Quote, we are giving it the ability to grow as an economic force, a teaching tool, a cultural export, and a point of national pride. Those who are truly committed to the advancement of Junkanoo should be working with us, not against us. We can stick a pin right there as well. This is not a political exercise. Obviously it is, sir, because you had to mention the blueprint for change in your speech. It is definitely a political exercise. It's a cultural responsibility, close quotes. Boleg said the ministry welcomes constructive input from all stakeholders. Quote, we will consult, we will listen, and we will work together, but we will also lead because the stakes are too high to allow fragmentation or stagnation to define the future of Junkanoo, close quotes, he said. In fact, Minister, we don't need you to lead. What we need you all to do is provide oversight. See, that's what the problem is. We don't need you to lead. See, we need you to put yourself in that uncomfortable position where you're not in charge, but you're integral, right? You need to be there to provide oversight. You can't make the decisions, but you have to ensure that the decisions are made properly. It's not your decision to make at all, ever. Ever. Also, just from the language that you've used, Minister, it appears as if this is another exercise in creating an industry. Junkanoo is not an industry. What about giving it the ability to grow while entrenching its roots and ensuring that we always preserve the core of Junkanoo? What about that part of it? What about the preservation of the culture? What about shoring up the structure so that new innovations can flow freely from it without eroding the root? What about those elements? They don't need you to lead. They need you to provide oversight. They need you to understand the dangers of political interference. They need you to manage and maintain mechanisms to manage conflicts of interest. That's what they need you to do. Without a doubt, a new structure is necessary. Put the Valley Boys to the side. The continual dispersing of state funds without proper oversight, without proper enforcement, without proper care to ensure that the entities that you've given the money to can use it appropriately, that they're organized sufficiently to make it make sense and get to Bay at the same time. Because that Bay money is not for capacity building. It's not for enrichment, youth enrichment programs. That Bay money is for Bay, right? But, sir, you made it political as soon as you said this initiative aligns with the government's blueprint for change. Anyway, I got two texts here, and then my guest has arrived in studio. We're going to transition. Here's a text. Good morning, Aaron. We Bahamians don't care about Junkanoo right now. There's so many other more important things like fixing PMH5 immigration. Why no one is talking about all Bahamian men being killed in Haiti waters? Hold on, you mean the people who are suspected of dealing drugs? You mean the people who went into a war-torn territory and were suspected of being involved in the transshipment of illicit narcotics? That's what we're talking about. We've talked about it. But see, y'all don't want to talk about it. Y'all don't really want to talk about it. You don't want to talk about why Haiti is in the state that it's in, why people found undocumented in their waters are being treated like enemy combatants. Because they are as a conflict. They are at war in Haiti. So y'all don't want to talk the whole talk. Y'all want to make men and women heroes without telling the entire story. Also, we've been talking about, see, I was talking about PMH before it was like in the news heavy. I was talking about the fire trucks. I've been talking about illegal immigration for years. But here, what we're doing right now, between the conversation about the restructuring, it appears, of the Junkanoo community and the petition for the expungement, a full pardon expungement of the criminal conviction of Mr. Chavandes, Michael the Archangel Smith. These are foundational conversations, right? When you're having a conversation about Junkanoo, you're having a conversation about rites of passage, right? You're having a conversation about personal development. You want to know why we have no integrity in politics? Because we have no rites of passage. Junkanoo, the last rite of passage collective, or the largest rite of passage, collective rite of passage left, is eroded. These are foundational and fundamental conversations. Text says, meanwhile, we must roll out the red carpet for Haitians. Do Bahamian lives matter? Text, I'm glad you asked that question. Do they matter? Do they matter? You know what you didn't have on this list right here? You didn't have traffic. You know, you didn't have traffic. You don't want to talk about the fact that Bahamians don't care about each other. They just run in red lights and stop signs left, right, and center. Parking on sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, ignoring disabled parking spots, ignoring the needs of the most vulnerable among us. Why you want to talk about Haitians and Bahamians, Bahamian lives not mattering? Let's talk about Bahamians not caring about Bahamian lives. Good morning, caller.
Ms. Green.
Good morning.
How you doing this morning?
I good.
We having an open language.
No.
Talking about Michael the Archangel.
We're talking about Michael the Archangel, and while I was waiting for my guest to come into studio, I wanted to talk about the Junkanoo story just a bit, you know, to fill that time, because there's a connection.
I need to learn a little more on that first, because I only hear clippings on the news with the minister. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't bother with that right. Me, I wouldn't bother that right now. But the gentleman, Michael the Archangel,
mm-hmm.
My thing with that is that the trespassing on getting onto the government host property.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't too much about the Christopher Columbus statue. He
yeah.
could hit him from the head, go down, I don't care.
The security concerns.
I'm talking about the act of him getting onto that property to do that damage,
mm-hmm.
without the defense force officers that guard the place,
mm-hmm.
even noticing it.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's my the safety of the host.
So let me ask you a quick question. Should we punish? Because I just imagine it. We're shifting
yeah.
focus from the sort of historic cultural issues on whether Christopher Columbus is worthy, right, of the honor that we bestow in upon him.
We got to find him, Ms. Green, if that really was Christopher Columbus.
I know we have the argument that it was D'Artagnan, but listen, what I'm saying is, here's a question I put into you now.
Mm-hmm.
Should Smith be penalized for being able, for trespassing, when the onus is on the defense force officers to ensure that nobody get on the property?
But Ms. Green, we have burglar bars and alarm system in our house, and people still trespass and come into our house.
Okay, so, cool, but this is government house. This ain't,
yeah, I understand that.
Hold on, this is also
saying,
this is also the same government house.
The statue, the punishment should be for him trespassing on the government property. That is my biggest thing, my biggest fear.
Okay, cool.
I want him in a Columbus statue, because that should have been gone a long time.
Cool. I appreciate that point. You're saying he shouldn't be penalized for making that statement. Your greater concern is the security issues
yeah,
that arise when an individual could...
And don't forget, a couple months before that, a whole defense force officer was just killed in that yard.
But see, this is the point I'm making now, caller. Hold on, this is the point I'm making.
Lucky.
Hold on, but this is the point I'm making. I see, I'm not going to put the onus or the weight on penalizing Smith for the trespassing, because post the most tragic event of an on-duty officer being unalived on the compound, right, on duty, I've observed staff, like construction staff, during the renovation of the property, leaning over the wall, to buy things from the snack man at the corner.
Hey, I watched the snack man, he need to be moved from there also.
I watched the snack man at the corner throwing things over the wall, I guess, I presume, to customers, right?
Yeah, like, but he needs to be removed from there also.
Why would we penalize Smith for that? It's trespassing when it's obvious there's been a complete breakdown.
Well, I guess while the construction workers was working on the house, I don't think the governor general was there. I'm thinking about the safety of the governor general.
Okay, because it's not just the safety of the individual. It's the safety of the office and the premise. And
yes.
Anything could be hidden at any time
for
anybody.
True. That's true, too.
But I appreciate...
That's true.
I appreciate the critical approach to the question.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. All right, next call, I got to ask you to pause for a second. My guest is in studio. I got to make the introduction. Good morning, Dr. Nyambi Hall Campbell Dean.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you for coming. I think it's an important conversation. Like I said in my response to the text, this conversation is as important as all of the conversations.
Yeah.
Right? For me, it's a foundational conversation. For me, the link with both John Canoe and this conversation are about personal and collective development, both historic, and the development from the past to the present to the future. Do we have an obligation to preserve the past? Do we have an obligation to extract truth from that which we preserve, right? And eradicate the lies, the untruths as we find them? And are we allowed to do the same thing in our lives, right? Are we allowed to not retell the story, but iterate the story with more accuracy, right? Are we allowed to do these things? And what does it mean for a black man to be convicted of destroying a monument of a man that heralded an era of genocide and slavery on brown and black and non-white-skinned people throughout the world, right? Like, what does it mean for a black man in his own country to be locked up for destroying a monument to a person who meant nothing but harm to us? Right? And then just juxtapose it to this. You ever been on the road with your window down in that area and you hear a Surrey driver or a tour driver giving a tour?
Mm-hmm.
These people don't even be telling the made-up story correctly.
Right.
They don't even tell the what is the reverence, what is the honor that somehow Smith has tarnished. Y'all don't care about the statue. Y'all don't care about Christopher Columbus. You don't care about the story. You don't care about the plight of Africans post-enslavement, post-colonialism. You don't care. So why do you care so much about locking this boy up?
Yeah, so I guess just to begin to give some context to those who might not be familiar with the full story of what happened, the Freedom Project, which is... Crossroads Freedom Project, which is a group out of Trinidad, has done some significant work in the region. They've primarily been responsible for removing the Columbus ships from the coat of arms in Trinidad.
Mm-hmm.
In a trip to Barbados with other CARICOM Reparations Commission's members, I had a chance to meet up with them, and they were saying that they were looking for another project. And I was like, I have the exact project for you. And so we began to talk about this case of Shrivanda Smith, a.k.a. Michael the Archangel, and the fact that he had been charged with the vandalism of this Columbus statue.
Mm-hmm.
And so they felt like this was something that they could get behind. And so now we have launched a project to try and get him acquitted of the vandalism on this statue. And it's really, I think, as you were saying, a larger story around history and its context, what we value, and the story that we tell about ourselves, right? So I want to, giving that President, I want to say that the Bahamas National Reparations Committee does not advocate for vandalism or violence, right? But we also understand that precedent has been set for persons who have completely demolished statues erected to persons like Columbus, enslavers, committers of genocide, that there have actually been laws passed to say that persons who destroy these statues should not be held criminally liable. And as the Bahamas is still under the Privy Council, we recognize what happens in the UK as setting precedents for what happens here. And so that's, this man's life should not be held in turmoil because he recognized that Columbus was not a hero.
Mm-hmm. Like we are all coming to recognize now, right?
I think
it's only in this new iteration and maybe iteration of the Trump administration do we see a call for a return to the acknowledgement of October 12th, 1492 as Discovery Day, right? It takes me all the way back to, I don't know if you remember the year that George Bush Jr. announced, you know, he proclamation for Discovery Day. And he told the whole world that Columbus landed first in the United States of America, right?
No, I don't remember that.
And I was just sitting there, I was like, wow, this is what they mean. This is what cultural imperialism means. Because our whole life, the whole country, the whole Caribbean, the whole world has been reiterating that first stop, like his journals say, in on these islands,
right?
And George Bush Jr. was just retelling the story, right? Now we have the Trump administration reiterating an old story once again, right? Even though the Pope denounced the doctrine of discovery,
yeah,
right? March 31st, 2023, I think it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely a precedent, right? International precedent, saying that this legislation, or basically but there is precedent to say that if you would erect a statue to a genocidal pedophile and somebody tears it down, that the somebody that he punished for it. Mm-hmm. And I think, as you were saying, like, this speaks to not just the statue, right? But what is the story that we want to tell about ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
And what is the story that we want to tell to people about ourselves?
And in the same way, for me, sitting here just right now after reading the Junkanoo story, in the same way that it appears as if, given the language that's being used, the state is creating legislation that will create an industry, right? Mm. A vehicle, an economic vehicle, or the structure so that people could create economic vehicles out of Junkanoo, right? To create an industry, to think that you're not penalizing Smith because of a reverence to history, right? A commitment to protecting and preserving history and its monuments. No, not at all. It's because you have attempted poorly to commodify both Christopher Columbus and the trauma, right? Of the trauma that sits in the wake of his journeys, right?
Yeah.
Like you want to commodify that, and Smith's destroying of that statue breaks that right up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like it is diametrically opposed to that.
Yeah.
You don't have the statue, then you don't have a monument to center your commodification around.
Yeah. And I mean, there is such a thing as, I think the term that they use is trauma tourism.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a story around the original genocide of this Western Hemisphere,
mm-hmm.
right? That is a story that we could tell. But how do we want to tell that story?
I'm going to tell you how we want to tell. Carla, we're coming to you right now. I'm glad you're here. Because, right?
Yeah.
I'm telling you the worst part about it. You want to pretend like it's not trauma tourism, right? So you want us to live here and tell these stories about trauma, but at the same time present and operate as if we have been completely and entirely removed from trauma.
Yeah.
I don't know who that trauma belongs. It don't belong to us because we right here with you, living this tourism experience with you without even acknowledging that we in a subservient position and we still just maintaining these plantation systems.
Mm.
So like that's the weight of that on the minds of Bahamians, right? That's why taxi drivers don't stop at red lights now. That's why, see, LOI, do believe Renwood Wells forget. That's why it was so detrimental July 27th, 2019, when you didn't read the law properly. Now you got taxi drivers turning right on red. As if they've been authorized and deputized by the minister responsible for transport. Because the trauma of being in this position, of being in servitude, telling the story of trauma, but also have to tell it like you're not a part of it because you don't want your guests to get that icky feeling that somehow they're participating in neocolonialism.
But you know, the thing that I'm saying is that there is a way to do it.
They do it
in Germany with the sites of the Holocaust.
Right, but it takes a collective reckoning. It takes a collective acknowledgement and a collective commitment to preserving the truth.
Absolutely. But we can get there.
Yeah, yeah, I believe.
But
we can get
there. Have to begin to tell the truth about the stories.
Yeah. So listen, let's go to the Freedom Project.
Yeah.
And then maybe read a couple of excerpts from the letters to the committee for the
Prerogative of Mercy.
And to the Prime Minister.
Absolutely.
Good morning, caller. Thank you for your patience.
Aaron, good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. Good, thank you.
And any other guests you might have in your audience.
Good morning.
I first, as a cab driver of 18 years, want to defend the good honor of many of my honorable colleagues, and perhaps correct you in that you want to say that some cab drivers are turning right on red. And I also want to take this brief opportunity to thank the cab drivers for their unwavering contribution to the tourism sector as we know it now. Having said that, I want to say that my appreciation of all that has been said is shaped and influenced by a story that most Bahamians aren't aware of, but Aaron, you might be, and your guests might be. It's the story of the Creole case, which is one of the most successful slave revolts in the history of slavery. That story carries within it many different components that help us view the post-slave era for what it represents. But one that stands out with me was at the end of the revolt that ended up, they took a slave ship that was going to the Carolinas and they brought it over to the Bahamas with 100-something slaves on it. The ship was called the Creole. The leader of the revolt was Madison, a former slave who had gone into freedom and then went back into slavery to free his wife and children. Because when the governor managed to navigate that very complex maritime crisis that was caused as a result of an American ship being here in the Bahamas in a free territory with slaves, the slaves were offered freedom. The one man who, out of the few slaves who led the revolt, were given a light prison sentence. And once this announcement was made by the governor, and the ship should have been, he ordered the ship returned to the United States government. And this is after much, much complex regional negotiations, as you would imagine. But what was unique was on the day that the announcement was made that the slaves were all free to stay here in the Bahamas, there was a small contingent of slaves that objected and said they never asked for freedom and that they wanted to remain slaves. And they protested the deliverance of their freedom and stayed with the ship and returned to New Orleans and returned back into slavery. The point I'm making is it seems to me, from my close observation of our post-slave era, that for various reasons, a lot of our people want to return to New Orleans for whatever reason that is. You can see it in their conduct. You can see it in a lot of ways. They approach the complex issues that you and I are talking about right now. If they were to choose, it seems that they would say, take us back in some form to New Orleans. And I leave you with that. But that's how I sometimes view the complex issues that we face in the post-slave era. Some people just don't want any different. They're comfortable with the status quo. And until we come to grips with that, we can address the other side of the issue. Thank you.
Wow.
Are we going on break or can I address that?
We're going to address it on the other side okay. of the break, Doctor. Woo! Listen, first of all, it's incumbent upon taxi drivers to police themselves and their peers. That's your job. It's your job to cause or compel your professional colleagues to govern themselves, to moderate their behavior, particularly in the absence of enforcement by the Royal Bahamas Police Force. You know?
Yeah.
It's obviously not every single taxi driver, sir, but there are far too many taxi drivers doing it for taxi drivers to come and make that point. That's all I'm saying. Mm. And you all know that. Taxi drivers, livery drivers, and then we go on to the corporate and commercial drivers. All y'all are professional drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to that statement. And
we can get to it on the other side of the break.
Yeah, let's do
that. Other callers, y'all hold the line. We get to go to this break. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. We'll be right back.
My people don't understand like them. I am a poor man. Took a man to toot your corner. Knife to my throat, I was a goner. Didn't see no dog, but heard a bark was me. Yeah, when I was a taxi driver, I was a deep sea diver. And when I walked the pass, I would mash the gas. I was a taxi driver. I was a taxi driver.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring you.
At our Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community. Until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else. All to redefine what's possible. For everyone, everywhere. For every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Pop the top with Collect. Check your cap by 700. 200,000 in cash and prizes. With winners on different islands.
Collect!
Pop the top with Collect. Check your cap by 700. You could win free bears, take a sip. And collect merchandise, matter set. I pop mine at.
Exo Marie got
up. I pop mine at.
Home comedy, Luke
Trump. Free bears at.
Papa Cohen and just.
Check your cap.
Bring your go Grand Bahama.
Collect! Pop the top with Collect. Check your cap at 700. You could win free bears.
Take a sip
and collect merchandise. Matter says.
Drink responsibly, buddy.
Is your business ready for the next big step? More inventory? New equipment? A larger space? At Fidelity, we offer commercial loans tailored to suit your business's needs. Inquire today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity. We're good for you.
Trafficking in persons is defined as recruiting, transporting, transferring, harboring, and receiving of persons by means of threat or force, abduction, fraud, deception, abuse of power, and giving or receiving of payments or benefits with the aim of exploiting them. It is a criminal offense in the Bahamas that falls under the Trafficking in Persons Prevention and Suppression Act 2008. A person convicted of trafficking in persons can receive sentences ranging from 3 years to life in prison and fines of up to $15,000. If you think someone is a victim of this crime, call Police Emergency at 919 or Crime Stoppers at 328-8477. This message is being brought to you by the Ministry of National Security.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Let's all go back in time and reflect into our minds. Back to the olden days. It was tough in many ways. They used to cook in...
Good morning. Welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Just a shout out. Let's give the producer some because thank you, producer. I love that song. Reflecting back in time. Doctor, we're going to start the show by responding to the last caller.
Yeah.
Callers, hold the line.
So when we talk about the fact that some persons decided to stay on the boat, right, to go back to New Orleans, I think that what we have to understand is there are always going to be people that choose the devil they know versus the devil they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And when we think about what happened at Emancipation or there were revolts, there was nothing waiting for the enslaved, right? Not slaves, the enslaved persons who decided they were going to take a chance on freedom. It wasn't like they decided to get off the boat, there was going to be land waiting for them or housing waiting for them or food waiting for them.
Or they would get on another boat to take them back to their home on the continent.
Right. There was nothing guaranteed for them. So I think that when we look at those types of incidences or when we look at the choices that people make, we have to understand the full context in which they're making these choices. And maybe then the judgment that we have for why they make these choices is a bit more reserved.
Yeah. And I wanted to say that we all on the boat to New Orleans, sir, you and I, with our proper English, with our proper standard British English, sir. So well you articulated your point, as do I in the Queen's English. Charles, you ain't old enough for this English yet, right? Like, all of us retain remnants, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of us. And many of us, there's so many things we're unwilling to give up. Y'all ain't gonna give it up. You could put on all your dashiki. You could afro up your hair as much as you want. You could bury your navel string in the backyard. There are vestments of colonialism that we're not, y'all not gonna give up. But let's go to the phone line. I know we got the people them. Hot. Good morning, caller, and thank you for your patience.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. Guess how you doing?
Good, thank you. How you doing?
I have a question, right?
Mm-hmm.
What changed after Columbus statue was removed? Absolutely nothing. So what difference does it make if the statue was there or not? I don't get it. Because things only got worse after.
Quickly.
You see how bodies drive? You see how much crime in the road? Okay.
That's not because of...
Hold on. Removed, right?
Cousin, that ain't because of the statue. That's because of the Valley Boys. That ain't the statue. That's the Valley Boys. We blaming the Valley Boys for that. Dear Valley Boys, I'm sorry. When you with awesome power, you have awesome responsibility. The first time y'all did it, then there was COVID. The whole world shut down. Now y'all doing it again, and we can't get nothing right. Thank you, caller. Let's go to the next call, producer. Good morning, caller. Did we lose you, caller? I'm so sorry. Let's go to the next call. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green, and good morning, dear guests. How you doing?
Good, thank you. How you do?
All right. Ms. Green, you know that thing called Stockholm Syndrome, right? They talk about that Stockholm Syndrome. I think slavery made that thing we call Stockholm Syndrome look like some kindergarten. I think we had original Stockholm Syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
You know the kind of way? You know what I mean? Because we have, you know what I mean? I think you all know what happened, that Stockholm Syndrome thing.
Yeah.
But I hear you all talking about And I heard your guest said something about people like the truth of the devil they know, but the devil they don't know, or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he's talking about how some people, the gentleman's talking about some people want to go back into, as opposed to choosing freedom, they want to go back into slavery. But I heard you all talking about cases, different taking on certain cases and denouncing certain things and stuff like that, right? And I want to ask your guest and yourself, Ms. Green, something, and I may want to hear what you all have to say about this. And I feel as if what I'm about to say, all intellectuals should support this and understand by coming from my point of view, because I'm talking about objective truth. All right? Now, I live in a society, right, where...
You got 1 minute.
Yeah, okay. I live in a society where they say that some white man named Jesus is the King of Kings can teach you objectively that in 1930, Emperor Haile Selassie I was crowned King of Kings, November the 2nd, 1930, right? Now, what I want to bring a case where I can prove that is the case, and that Haile Selassie is the King of Kings and not some white man named Jesus that we learned through slavery. And I want to bring it forth where that is known in society, and no more can they talk about some fake person named Jesus is the King of Kings. Now, how y'all feel about that?
I mean, I
want to bring a court case like that.
I don't know how effective a court case would be. I mean, it would have to be very specific, like you want to make sure you want to sue the Ministry of Education because they keep reflecting these images of Jesus as white.
Yeah, but not only sue the Ministry of Education. I'm talking about objective truth. I want something that's true to be said true, because when I call the radio station.
I got you, but you weren't listening to me just now. What I was saying, that a court case would only work with like a specific target, like you want the textbooks and the curricula, the Ministry of Education to reflect that. That's local, right? But what I was about to tell you is you don't need an international court case, because Putin and Putin's internet, they done exposed that.
Yeah.
Right? Putin went into the halls of the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Russian Eastern Orthodox Church, and he revealed all of the sacred icons. He revealed all of the monuments, right? The monuments and icons. And they all showed that not just that Jesus was black. See, he wasn't Aaron Green black. See, he wasn't Aaron neo-colonial, European and mixed race black. He was Dr. Nyambi Campbell Hall, Dean black.
The melanin black.
Proper black, right? Not no, I bathe in hot water and I speak the Queen's English black. Proper black. So that's already been dispelled, right?
It speaks to the story, to this idea of what stories are we telling about ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. And the story, just like the story of what we told about Columbus. And so we're coming to an end. I just want people to know that they can follow us at 242 Reparations on Instagram or Reparations 242 on Facebook, and that the Bahamas National Reparations Committee is hosting an Emancipation Day event at the Fox Hill Community Center on July 31st, which is the eve of Emancipation Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
At 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., where we're going to have an intergenerational conversation about emancipation. And what does freedom really mean to us now? So I'd invite the taxi driver to come to that event, a last caller. Everyone listening, really, so that we can have these conversations. And also, you know, if you have issues or questions about the campaign for Michael the Archangel, we'll definitely be in the building to address those as well. So that's the Fox Hill Community Center, July 31st at 6 p.m. free. To all interested persons, bring your young persons, bring your kids there on summer break. You know, let's have these intergenerational conversations to really get free.
Right, because what's a conversation about emancipation if you still treating your children like they are capital, like they're just here to make your life easier, that they're supposed to spend intellectual labor, they're supposed to think for you, they're supposed to feel for you, they're supposed to take care of your feelings as the adult. I got a text here. Text to say, Miss Green, please read this. It says, as a matter of fact, how dare the government stick their nose in Junkanoo when they do not pay the people who sacrifice their paychecks every year to celebrate and entertain for free. When they start paying Junkanoo is $10,000 per head, then you can intervene. Please read my text. I want everyone's opinion. Don't take this personal. So people's lives and souls are equal to drugs. What if Bahamians meet Haitians with this? They also traffic kids, drugs, and guns and migrate illegally. They're also breaking the law. There are two different types of laws. I, for the love of God, dear Christians, migration, the thing that Jesus did with his, right in the womb with his mother, that thing, That's not criminal. It is only recently that undocumented migration has been deemed a criminal act. Migrating and fleeing from conflict and economic oppression, which you would like to forget as if you could forget what was done to Haiti, and continues right in front of our eyes with the people we trade with, live with, right? That's not the same as trafficking drugs. And even though countries have been forced to survive on narco economies in this neo-colonial dispensation, the undocumented migration of people is not the same thing as the transshipment of drugs. Dear Christians, Dexter, when you ask me to read it, I can read it. Sometimes I can read it for filth, though. That's my bad. Sometimes I ain't got no manners. I can catch myself. Anyway, Junkanoo, world, y'all are one of the last collective rites of passage we have. You are the space where young men become men, where young women become women. Let's get this thing together, man. You belong to us and we belong to you. It ain't no this our things. We honor you and you honor us, okay? Y'all have a blessed day, because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. Doctor, thank you. We can continue this conversation in the next couple of days, man. Yeah, absolutely. Because where go, what y'all Christians say, but for God go I, where Smith went. Y'all would do it to me. You would do it to me. I see you. Anyway, y'all stay tuned. It can get even juicier. Have a great day, Bahamas.
I ain't gonna lick nobody. I ain't gonna lick nobody. I ain't gonna lick nobody. Cause I got guinea corn harmony. Yes, indeed. Stew shot and Johnny cake. Guinea corn harmony and lard.